And we get an update on management commentary.
Thank you. I would like to provide the board with an update of the key messages that we heard from the members of the Management Commentary Consultative Group, which held its first meeting on the 28th of September. We have not provided any agenda papers for this board meeting and are not asking for any decisions at this point, but the key messages from the Consultative Group meeting will help inform the direction of the project and our future agenda papers. The topics that were discussed during that meeting and that we will be covering today are the overall approach to the project and status of a future practice statement, the objective of management commentary, the application of materiality to management commentary, and principles for preparing management commentary, focusing on completeness, neutrality, and comparability. On the overall approach, members expressed their support for the board undertaking the management commentary project. And overall, they agreed with an approach to the revision of the practice statement that is based on the conceptual framework, which focuses on users' assessments of future cash flows and stewardship of economic resources. Some members, especially standard setters, expressed a preference for the practice statement to become mandatory, at least as a future aspiration that might be achieved in stages. However, most members recognise that mandating it would be a challenge in the short term. On objective, members agreed that the objective of management commentary should be consistent with the objective of other forms of financial reporting, targeted towards the same primary users as for financial statements, and as defined in the conceptual framework. Some noted that the practice statement should emphasize that management commentary and the financial statements are treated as one package, including when making the materiality assessment. There is an expectation that this project and the practice statement should be linked to other IASB projects, for example, the primary financial statements, and reflect similar principles. Members highlighted that the IASB needs to keep in mind that the preparers of management commentary are not restricted to accountants or members of the finance team, but others across the company will need to be involved and engaged in its preparation to address the different components which contribute to business success. This may need to be acknowledged in the practice statement itself, but also considered when drafting the practice statement in terms of the language and the terminology used, which needs to be simple and understandable. Some stated that the principles developed for management commentary should be capable of application to other types of reporting. This would help keep the practice statement relevant as different forms of reporting evolve. Some members said that we should keep in mind the role of technology as well in providing information that possesses the qualitative characteristics of useful financial information, and this could include different presentation formats. Members highlighted that verifiability should be emphasized alongside other qualitative characteristics discussed in the conceptual framework. This is because users want information to be reliable and easily corroborated. We noted an appetite for assurance, which users consider would make management commentary more useful. The practice statement should be set up in a way that will make assurance implementable if it becomes mandatory. Several members highlighted that guidance on communication principles such as understandability and conciseness would be helpful. Some members also stated that an entity's purpose and its business model should be the starting point for a management commentary, from which other content follows, including the entity's long-term strategy and its performance metrics, the measures of success, and the related incentivization of management. Members agreed that disclosures on risks and risk management, which allow users to see how they could affect an entity in meeting its strategic objectives, needed to be prominent in management commentary. The discussion on future net cash inflows included reference to discounted cash flow valuation methodology. This would capture the whole life cash flows and long-term view of the entity. However, some noted that care was needed on the wording used in the practice statement on future cash flows, so as not to be misinterpreted as a need to disclose forecasts. On the application of materiality to management commentary, members agreed that we should use the materiality practice statement and the conceptual framework as the basis for our approach. But examples and supplemental guidance applicable to management commentary should be provided. Some members agreed that such guidance could include separating the consideration of matters from the identification of material information on those matters. And moving on to principles, when discussing completeness of management commentary, members agreed with the concept of narrative coherence, which includes alignment with financial statements and other sources of information. However, they noted that clearer terminology in the practice statement may be needed. The consultative group also discussed other practical considerations for assessing completeness related to information used in other capital market communications and internal decisions, and knowledge of external factors and insights from other stakeholders. Some said that the information considered by an entity's board should be included in its management commentary. On neutrality, some noted that specific guidance was needed on aggregation and disaggregation of information. When discussing comparability, some members raised concerns on sensitive information and comparability with peers. In relation to trend information, a few members emphasized that the practice statement should be clear that this relates to historical information. To conclude, I would like to note that we plan to present a staff paper on the objective of management commentary for consideration by the board at its November meeting. And the other topics discussed today will be then covered in subsequent meetings. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mary Claire. You can hear we got some very clear messages from the consultative group. Amaro?
Just a comment. Thank you very much for the oral update. I think it was very good for us to get to know that idea of the meeting. I trust it's important to provide a little bit of feedback about the interest in this particular project. When developing activities with related to the FICE-DP recently, and in a discussion with representatives from Latin America, from Mexico, Argentina, Brazil, Colombia, Peru, and Uruguay, after the FICE discussion, they asked a lot of questions about this particular project, so there is a significant interest. And there are some points that they already identified as of particular interest for them when discussing. And this comes to first voluntary versus mandatory. Generally, the feedback, the initial reaction is that at least at inception should be voluntary, but there is always appetite among some to have all literature issued by us as mandatory, including the conceptual framework. So you hear both views. And the other significant point mentioned was the materiality, how to apply materiality to the management commentary, and appears to be one of the biggest challenges for them. And also, lots of interest about the interaction between what we are doing with the frameworks already existing in place for non-financial information. The most commonly referred is the integrated reporting framework. It's very popular in Latin America, and particularly in Brazil. There are a number of it's voluntary, but there are a number of large companies that do use the framework and do provide the information, the integrated reporting. And one aspect also that was mentioned was the quality of the papers that was discussed in the meeting and the breadth of the discussion. They thought the number of topics was was very interesting for a first meeting. Their perception as outsiders was that the meeting was extremely fruitful in terms of discussions and topics. And one additional thing that they mentioned was, in their view, the importance of have representatives from the IAASB because of the assurance point that some see as important for the future. Not necessarily now, but they see auditors to be involved at this stage very, very positive. Because even those entities that are already making available their integrated reporting, they do have these questions from time to time. Well, is this audited? Is it? How can you assure this is the truth? And one last comment, and because of this interest that I noticed in Latin America, my question is the summary you've just provided orally going to be available in the project webpage? Because I think together with the papers that were discussed, and I see the next meeting in January the 9th, so it's whatever information available, I think it's important.
Yes, we are preparing a summary of the meeting, which will be public. We'll be sharing it with the consultative group members first, and then that will be published on the website.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. Many people say that non-financial information is getting more important when investors make investment decisions. I think it's true. But the question is, there are a variety of reports. They can say whatever they like, I mean, because it's a voluntary basis. So who speaks out wins. That is the current situation. So I was interested in your comment that the verifiability was the big issue in the consultative group's discussion. But the difficulty of verifiability is whether or not we should mandate or just keep it a voluntary basis. So this point, again, was discussed. So I'm curious, if we were to mandate, how would you do that? Would you make practice statement as a part of the IFRS, or is it leave to the jurisdictions regulators?
So shall I pick that one out? I think from where we start, it would be difficult to mandate in one yeah. go, and that's not something that as a project team we're currently envisaging. Having said that, and recognising some of the comments made at the consultative group, we can, the way in which we write the update, we can perhaps have half an eye to the fact that it might be the right time to mandate it in future. Mm. But I think given the diversity of frameworks out there at the moment, that would be a step too far at this stage, probably.
Well, I really would like us to stay away from this.
Yeah.
The existing management commentary is non-mandatory. The update will be non-mandatory as well. And by the way, this is not about non-financial information. This is about broader financial information.
Right, okay.
Gary?
You give some feedback. A couple of weeks ago, was at the integrated reporting meeting at Paris, and there's 100 or so groups that are in there. To say that there's a lot of interest in this project would be a big understatement. A lot of countries and other states, they got similar initiatives, but everyone pretty much acknowledges, we've got the biggest breadth and scope of operations and capability to make something going. So there's an awful lot of interest. I was on a panel with somebody from IAASB and somebody from other firms kind of representing an EU-wide initiative. And we did get asked repeatedly, how close is this to integrated reporting? And my answer was, which I hope is consistent with what the mission messages out of this building was, said integrated reporting is an important platform and input to us, but broadly, within the boundaries of our general remit, we're going to be looking for the best practices we can identify out there. And you'll see a lot of similarities to integrated reporting, but it won't be the only thing you see in it. And I would say some of this was probably more from one-on-one discussions than the group panel. I think there was a sense is from the generally do not make it mandatory to begin with, but write it such that if a standard setter wanted it to be mandatory, it's organized that they could. And there was also a lot of debate, is it auditable, and if not auditable in the usual sense, maybe positive or negative assurance and stuff. And I think you get mixed messages and you kind of understand where the person you're speaking to, what they're coming from. But I think the general sense was in the beginning, as Amara said, do not make it required to be auditable. You want it to be reliable. Auditing's nice to have. But the first thing is let's just get the total reporting package right. With the content, the direction, linkages to the strategy longer term and the business mission and so on. Worry about should it be mandatory and should it be auditable later on, but just get it right first. There's enough checks and balance in the system. There should be some truth in communication. And sometime much later on, worry about the verifiability from an external point of view.
Daryl, we were in South Africa last week and talked to the Stock Exchange, who is extremely supportive of this kind of reporting. But I recollect they were extremely skeptical about this whole assurance thing, weren't they?
They felt quite strongly that assurance would simply add to the costs of presenting the information, and the verifiability was a constraint that they were worried about. So they preferred it not to be.
Well, the sense was, Green, is that if you wanted assurance, absent, if your frame of reference is the classic assurance model, a lot of stuff will not make it into this reporting. If you're applying normal, what auditors can or cannot do, absent major changes with the principles of how you approach auditing, therefore, don't sweat the audit, Frank, just get it right.
Also seems to me that the audit profession has enough on its plate right now, as it is. Okay, Mary?
Two things. One is on the mandatory, non-mandatory point. Because people are raising it, I think we have to address it, but can we just say we're not going to discuss it every time we have discussion about management commentary. If you need to bring it to us, so we have a discussion maybe at the end, towards the end of whatever it is.
I really think, if we want to make progress with this, we should not have a discussion that perhaps in the end it will be mandatory. I think we have to be crystal clear, because then we'll get such a complicated discussion. Mm-hmm. I would not even want to have a discussion. We'll get back to this. We started this out very clearly. This is not going to be mandatory. Let's not have a shadow discussion about it.
Okay. My only point was, if we're going to be forced to discuss it, let's do it once in an organized fashion, not every time.
We already did. We decided that.
I think you two are violently agreeing.
Yeah. Yeah. But the other thing I wanted to say, and this is becoming a longstanding bugbear of mine, which is, if we go out and talk to the world and say we are doing something about broader financial reporting, having been beaten up by the chair on misuse of that term before, people say, that's great, I didn't know what you're doing it. And you say, yep, there's project summary on the website. And they go look and they say, where? Because we call it management commentary practice statement. To me, management commentary practice statement is the vehicle, and the driver is that we want to contribute to broader financial reporting, in the narrow context with the scope you described. So I just strongly encourage us to think again about giving this project a title that is more understandable to those looking at our website, especially because people who may be interested in this include people who are not following our agenda closely. And so they won't know our code for things. And I think they'd never in a million years think to look at something called Management Commentary Practice Statement to find the project they're looking for.
Nick?
Thank you. Just three quick things. First of all, thank you to Mary Claire for the summary, and very pleased to hear it will be going onto the website in one form or another. Secondly, to reflect, I think we had a very good meeting. The consultative group was a very good meeting. We've got some very good, energized, and thoughtful contributors, and I think it did change our thinking in some respects. I think it was a fabulous first meeting. And the third issue, more specific, and I think we'll probably need to come back to it, because I think we will get more questions that Gary referred to about the interaction with the integrated reporting framework. And my sense is that there will be an overlap in terms of concepts, but not in terms of the six capitals framework. And perhaps that's a route which we need to explore in terms of communication anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.